cast I'm off, and nevermore, oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. One more time, Lord, my hope is in the Lord. This time on and nevermore, oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. May we stand to our feet, please. Hallelujah. May we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, the altar of life, the giver of every good gift, we thank you this morning, Lord, for giving us another privilege to come into the house of the Lord. Father, we are glad to be in your presence, O Lord. And we have a promise and a word where there are two or three gathered in your name, O God. You promised to be there to bless, O God. So we know you are here this morning, Lord. May you grace us with your presence, O Lord. May you pour out the anointing, Father, and break every yoke this morning. Oh, God, may you prepare our hearts to receive the word this morning. May you inspire us, oh, God. May you set our souls on fire, Lord. Take away our thoughts, oh, God, and let the mind of Christ drop down in us this morning. We remember our precious pastor and his family. May you bless them, Lord, and bless those that are also streaming this morning. May you take away the speaker, Lord, the man out of the way, and may the Holy Spirit come and speak to our hearts this morning. May we be liberated in your presence, oh, God. May we have confidence, Lord. May our faith be increased, oh God. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. May we give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We greet you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. I pray this morning that something will be said that will strengthen your faith, that'll encourage your heart this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When everything seems to be going crazy, God is right there on the scene. Sometimes we may look defeated. It may look like, you know, we're giving up. And we may feel like we're alone. No, that's when he's carrying you. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Amen. I pray by the grace of God this morning, by the end of this message, that your soul will be on fire, that you will have full confidence knowing that God is with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May we turn in the scriptures this morning to the book of Romans, familiar passage of scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 8, 29. I pray that God will give me inspiration so that I'll be able to flow this morning. I really didn't know which way to go this morning. But I was back there, and I was going over my notes, and I kind of started getting the feeling of where I'm going this morning. Amen. I pray the Lord Jesus will take over. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. And it reads thus, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of the word. You may be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to speak this morning on a thought, the foreknowledge of God. The foreknowledge of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are living in a time where there's so much confusion. There's so much fear. But this shouldn't be for the believer. We should know where we are. We should know what we are doing. We should know where we are standing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You must know where you come from to know where you're going. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, I know I'm a NAGBY. I'm not hoping to be a NAGBY. I'm not assuming that I'm a NAGBY. But I know for sure that I'm a NAGBY. And that gives me confidence. I know which family I was born into. I know who my parents are. Hallelujah. So it won't matter to me what other people say. If anybody disputes who I am, I know who I am. So I'm not worried by anything. I have confidence because I know my origin. So I can boldly say to you, I'm a Nagbe. I can trace you back to my father and mother. As a believer, we must know our origin. You got to know where you come from to know where you're going, to know what you're doing now, regardless of the circumstance. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, I want us to look at the full knowledge of God. This is very important for us to know these things. Now, what is foreknowledge? I looked this up. That word foreknowledge means it's knowing the things or events before they exist or happen. In the Greek, the term for foreknowledge is prognosis, which expresses the idea of knowing reality before it is real and events before they occurred. We are looking at the foreknowledge of God. God is not only finding things out now. He knows the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. And if I may add, he elected you into this day. He saw the troubles, and he placed you here for a witness. Brother Branham said, God will always have a witness. Just paraphrasing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Christian theory, this is what the dictionary was giving me, foreknowledge refers to all knowing, omniscient. Foreknowledge refers to the all-knowing, omniscient nature of God, whereby he knows reality before it is real. All things and events before they happen, and all people before they exist. Both Old and New Testament speak of God's foreknowledge. Nothing in the future is hidden from God's eyes. Isaiah 42:9, 44:6-8, 46:10 speaks of that. Now God sees our lives, our bodies, and our days even before we are conceived. Psalm 139:15-16 states, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy books all my members were written, which is continuous, were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Before there was a speck of light, God already seen you. He knows all about you. That's the God we serve. God seen 2020, God seen coronavirus before it happened. There are no surprises. But he promised, regardless of what's going on, he said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. God told Abraham 420 years what was going to become of his seed. We must have confidence in this day. You see, we're in a separate class. We're not like everyone else. A believer is in a special class. We are in a different economy altogether. The Bible says you are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Because God is with you. That's the difference. So we're not moved when troubles come. We're not moved like the world is moved. Why? Because the angel of the Lord is in the camp. The foreknowledge of God. We need to understand who God really is. Because we're not ordinary folks. We're not church people. We are sons and daughters of God. Now, these are not empty words. The Bible says, God speaking, says, let every man's word be a lie and mine be the truth. This is the truth of God. The Bible says you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That is the truth of God. So we are in a different category altogether. The reason we tremble and the reason we get afraid like the world is because we don't realize who we are and what we have. And it's time for us to come to ourselves. You see, when you have darkness, the light shines brightest in the dark. When trouble comes your way, that's when your life becomes on display. You become a written epistle, a living testimony. In the first Exodus, when the plagues was coming, that's differentiated Goshen. That shows who God's people were. The plagues never came nigh Goshen. When a death angel came in the land, not a single one of the children of Israel was destroyed. A special class. And Egypt recognized that. That's why they could give them everything they wanted. They wanted to get rid of them because these people were in a special class. We are not believers just because we say we are, but because God has ordained us and he has given us substance. God has come down himself to identify himself with his children. He said, I will not lose the one. Let me stick with the notes. The foreknowledge of God. Hallelujah. Now, this is still the dictionary, let me call it that. It says the Bible teaches that God's children were chosen beforehand and God's foreknowledge was involved. The elect are those who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 2 states, we were elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. This was Peter speaking to the saints. Now in Romans 8:21, it tells us for whom he did foreknow, that's the scripture we read, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, whom he did foreknow. The first word is whom. The next word I want you to look at is foreknow. Now let's look at the word foreknow. In the Webster dictionary, that word foreknow is a transitive verb, means to have previous knowledge of, know beforehand, especially by paranormal means or by revelation. Whom God did foreknow, not whom God thought about. Whom God did foreknow, watch the wording. This is about God and his family. The whom, that's the bride, and foreknow, whom God did foreknow, God and his church. Whom God did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now that word foreknow in Hebrews means to know something beforehand. Now if we look further at the word know, whom God did foreknow, let's look at that word know. It, in the Hebrew, that word know, like if you put it in the sentence, it says that we may say that we know someone, but simply mean we know of his or her existence. But in Hebrew taught, one can only know someone if they have a personal or intimate relationship with them. So it goes beyond knowing about. God doesn't just know about you, but God knows you. That's a different level altogether. Hallelujah. I hope I'm expressing it right this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Genesis 18:19, it states, Elohim says about Abraham, I know him. Meaning he has a very close relationship with Abraham. You can say, I know Donald Trump. I heard about him on the news. I read about him and so forth. That's a different level of knowing. But I do not know Donald Trump. You see, this is a different category. This is with God and his children. He says he knows Abraham. God called Abraham. Abraham was an idol worshiper. But before Abraham stepped into time, God knew Abraham. You see, Abraham was born for a purpose. Abraham didn't know that. But Abraham was a seed of God. Why did God come after Abraham? He was just a regular guy. He was an unbeliever, an idol worshiper. But he was elected for a purpose. You see, when you're on the earth, you're on the earth for a purpose. Your purpose is first. When Moses was born, he was born a proper child. He had a purpose. That's why he was born. If Moses never had a purpose, he would have never been born. We know the message tells us that before there was a speck of light, God ordained a bride. Oh, let's keep going. I'm getting off my notes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now it says here in my notes, hallelujah, when Romans 8:29, a scripture, speaks of whom God did foreknow, that knowing, to my understanding, this is my comments, is deeper than just knowing about someone. It's speaking of God and his eternal thoughts. His seed gene, a special class of people, those who are a part of God, his sons and daughters. And now an example says here, I'm a Nagbi. I'm a Nagbi because I'm a son of my father, Moses. I'm a son of my father because my father's blood is in me. My father's blood is in me because I was a gene of my father and was expressed as a Nagbi. That's a true relationship. I didn't ask to be one. I always was a Nagbi. Before I came to earth, I was a Nagbi. That is true relationship. There's no way I can get away from that. If I want to be a Gibbs, there's no way I can do that.
Because I'm not beginning. We're looking at foreknow. Whom God did foreknow. See, we are not church people. You are a Christian because you always were. It's got nothing to do with you. You're not a Christian because you come to church. You are a Christian. That is why you come to church. That's why you can recognize the message of your day. It's election. God knows you and he ordained you to receive the word for your day. And he expressed you in this age. Why weren't you born in the time of Brother Brenham? Your life has a purpose. The Bible says it's not him that will it or him that run it. It's not the guy or the lady that wants to be saved. It's God that shows mercy. His foreknowledge. The prophet said, let him know who would and who would not. And in order to catch those who would, he could predestinate. Now the question is, who are those who would? We make decisions every day. You see, man is a free moral agent. When God created man, put man in a body, he gives man free moral agent. We are not robots. We have the power to choose. But the choices you make, it depends on what's in you. Let's use that water fountain again for an example. That water fountain is placed there for everyone. But not everyone has interest in it. The only people that are going to go towards that water fountain to get water to drink are those that have a thirst for water. If you don't have a thirst for water, you have no need for the water fountain. Even though the water is there to quench your thirst. So it depends on what's in you. You love God because you were a part of God. Whom God did foreknow. It didn't say whom God did know about. He said whom God did foreknow. He predestined. Jesus said, no man can come to me lest my Father draws him first. Whom God did foreknow. This is about God and his family. We need to realize who we are. You need to know your origin. That'll take away the fear. That'll give you confidence. Because a lot of times we walk around hoping we're not so sure. Your faith and confidence must rest in the word. Your being a Christian has nothing to do with you. And it's not your ability to listen to the tapes, to come to prayer meeting, to come to church. You do those things because God placed a desire in there. It's a desire that's pushing you to do what you're doing. It's that desire that identifies you as a seed of God. The prophet said we're out of the picture altogether. A lot of times we look at ourselves and say we are doing it. It's not he that will it or run it. It's not he who wants to be saved. It's God. I'm a nagby not because I want to be, but because I was nagby then. I can't get away from that. I'll always be a nagby. Even if I deny I'm a nagby, my very blood, the DNA, will testify that I am. Jesus said he won't lose the one. He said no man can come to me lest the Father draws him first. It is not the will of God that any should perish. Brother Burns said when Christ died, all sin was expelled. But a pardon is not a pardon unless accepted. But who's going to accept this pardon? Those that have the seed. You see? The prophet said there are three classes.
Believers make believers unbelievers. What's in you puts you in a class. The prophet said, only elect can be reborn. Judas was an apostle. He was just like Peter and the rest of the guys. But in his soul, he was a devil. He couldn't help it. The scripture says he was born a son of perdition. The Bible says Jesus was born a son of God. Even though the Pharisees called him a devil, but he was the Word. He couldn't help it. That's who he was. Election. God saw himself in flesh way back before there was a speck of light. He told a woman after man's sin in the garden, I'll give you a seed. The foreknowledge of God. God holds your destiny. We need to realize these things. We are not church people. We need to recognize who we are. Hallelujah. 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 Let me read something here in the message. The exposition of the seven church ages. The Sardinian church age. The prophet said, he said, first of all, we know most assuredly that the purpose of God stands in election. It was purpose in himself. It was God's purpose to bring forth a people like unto himself. A people like unto himself. I'm like my father because I'm my father's gene. There's no other way to do it. The natural types of spiritual. A people like unto himself. His thoughts. The thoughts of God are real. They are seeds. When God dwelt alone before there was anything, injury or anything, God longed for fellowship. He had his thoughts, but he could not fellowship with his thoughts. So God changed his form from invisible to visible. Christ, the Word, the Logos. And then he said in Genesis 1, let's create man in our image. A spirit man, because God is a spirit. Then the Bible says there was no man to till the soil. So God formed a body because the spirit man couldn't contact the earth. So he took that spirit man and placed him in that form man for contact. Then God could fellowship. The prophet said God will never dwell alone again because his thoughts has been expressed. The thoughts of God are real. We see before the beginning, God dwelt alone. He was eternal. But God was not the only one eternal. His thoughts, which are his attributes, were eternal. Why did he tell Job, where were you? What was God saying to Job? He said, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted. What was God saying to Job? See, Job didn't know who he was, but he was a thought of God. We didn't start here. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The prophet said, speaking of the bride, she was chosen before the foundation of the world in him. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. She was foreknown and beloved. She was foreknown. There's our word again. Foreknown, relationship, and beloved. John, what does John say? Beloved, let us love one another. That word beloved means you're the apple of God's eye. Before there was a speck of light, she was foreknown and beloved before she was ever brought forth. during the ages upon the earth. She was foreknown. God knows you. He knows your thoughts. He formed you, your character. Everything was molded by God for a purpose. He ordained the whole thing for his glory. It's a finished work. The foreknowledge of God. We need to look at this thing right. You are a seed of God. It's got nothing to do with your, it's got nothing to do with you. It's not your performance. But if that seed is truly there, then you will hunger for God. Because that seed is the word. So you see, some people can claim to be seed, but the action shows whether the seed is there or not. Because that seed is a part of the word. The word is attracted to the word. It's not your smartness, it's the seed. The prophet said the seed was in you always. Comes down to the seed. The spirit comes to quicken the seed. The prophet said in non-seed, there is no quickening. Judas had the anointing on his flesh, but he was not seed. That put us in a different category. The foreknowledge of God. The Bible said Christ thought in our robbery to be equal with God. Because he knew who he was. He was God. Do you know who you are? That's the question. Because when you realize who you are, it changes your mindset. It puts you in a different category. You're not just a church member anymore. Now you realize that you are truly, you see, you're not wondering, you're not hoping. You know, I don't wonder if I'm a Nagby or not. I know I'm a Nagby. So even if whatever people say or do, it don't bother me because I know who I am. Because I know my origin. I was Nagby Jim. As long as I live in this life, I will always be Nagby. Why? Nagby's blood's inside. The foreknowledge of God. Hallelujah. Everybody following? Hallelujah. This should strengthen your faith this morning. It should make a difference to the believer, whatever happens. Coronavirus or not, economy or not, shouldn't make no difference. We're in a different class. We are not of this world. We're just passing through. These things are not just words. We need to start realizing this stuff. Sometimes the problem is we don't lay in the presence of God enough to experience the dynamic. Because when a dynamic comes, he quickens the word and makes the thing real, makes it live. If you're just going by the letter, you try to imagine you don't really know. But the day you come in contact with a dynamic, it changes everything. Now you're dealing with reality now. That's what we need to come to. That's what we need to lay in the word. Because the spirit comes upon the word. The word is the mechanics, the letter. The letter by itself is just mental. You need to stay there till the dynamic comes and quickens. Because this thing is reality. Christianity is reality. It's not religion. These things we're reading about is real. But we need to come into the reality. When the disciples were with the Lord Jesus 3.5 years, they were walking with God in flesh. But they only knew him on the outside. But when they got to Pentecost, then they seen the reality that became a part of God. That changed everything. The foreknowledge of God. Oh. Hallelujah. The prophet says she was redeemed by his blood and can never come into condemnation. Think about that. She can never be in the judgment because sin cannot be imputed unto her. Romans 8, For it blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. But indeed she shall be with him in his throne of judgment, judging the world, even angels. Think about that. You will judge angels. Her name, each of her members, was written in a section of the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Now we read a little further down. The prophet says, secondly, there is another class. Their names are also in the Book of Life, and they will come up in the second resurrection. Such are the foolish virgins and the righteous, as are spoken of in Matthew 25. He said, in this class also are those who do not worship the beast or become involved in the Antichrist system. We are headed for that now. But died for the faith, even though they are not in the bride. Not having been born again. That's where they fell short. The birth. But they will come up in the second resurrection and go into eternal life. He said, thirdly, there are the borderline Christians, such as we saw in Israel coming out of Egypt. These had their names in the Book of Life and their works written in the books. These having failed to obey God and being void of the Spirit, though even the signs and wonders were amongst them, will have their names removed from the Book of Life. Amongst this group will be the ones like Judas, who though entirely void of the Spirit, but are religious, will have manifestation in their lives, and though on the books were not the elected in him. The elect is a special class. It's God's own gene. He says, such also as Balaam will be in that group. And then fourth and finally are the ones whose names have never been or will ever be written on the books. Such are found in Revelation 13:8 and Revelation 17:8. And all that dwell upon the earth, the scripture says, shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So you see the different classes. We are in a different class altogether. No judgment. No judgment for the believer. The foreknowledge of God. He knows you. He doesn't just know about you. He knows you. You are a part of him. A gene of God. And this morning, the church age, Jesus said in John 6:37 and 44, it says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I shall in no wise cast out. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It's a finished work. You can't come lest God draw you. And once God draws you, it's a finished work. John 1:12-13, he said, but as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You are sitting here this morning because it's God's will for you to be here. The prophet said, we know these things. We see this message because we were ordained to see it. That's the will of God. For God to ordain you to his word, he had to know you. Because no man can come. And it says here, now according to the word of God, the bride was chosen before the foundation of the world. This choosing of the bride was purpose in himself. Ephesians 1:9 and Romans 9:11, it says that the purpose of God according to election might stand. It's all God. We are the ones finding out.
He said the heart purpose, the eternal purpose of God was to take a bride of his own choosing. And that purpose was in himself, and being eternal was decreed before the foundation of the world. God already declared you before there was a speck of light that you already made it. God did it. There's nothing you can do about it. He said, before there was ever a speck of stardust, before God was God. Now, God is an object of adoration, and no one was there to worship him. So he was at that time only potentially God, and he was known only as eternal spirit before there were any angels. The bride was already in his mind, the gene of God. You don't become eternal. You are already eternal. But you got to go through the process. And God will put you through the process. Hallelujah. She was existing in his thoughts. The seed. The prophet said the seed was in you always. The seed is the real you. Now, how do you know, how do I know that I'm actually a seed? God is going to come and quicken that thing. That gives you now the assurance. The Bible says the Spirit of God bears record with our spirit. That we are is God that identifies. It's all God. We're the ones finding out. And what about those thoughts of God, the prophet said? They are eternal. Are they not the eternal thoughts of God? Let me ask you, are the thoughts of God eternal? If you can see this, the prophet said, you will see many things. The steps of the righteous, Brother Josh, your whole life was pre-planned by God. What's going to happen to you 5 years from now? God already knows it. And he's ordained it, so there's no way you can bypass. If God ordained, you're going to have a body change. You can go up and come down. You're going to have a body change. As far as God is concerned, you already have a body change. Whom he justified, he's already glorified. This is just the rerun. God holds your destiny. I don't know why people are so afraid of coronavirus. If God said you would die by coronavirus, you will die by coronavirus. But a Christian cannot die. Death is just a taxi. There is no such thing as spiritual death to a baptized saint of God. The Bible is calling you a saint. Sometimes we look at our mistakes, we call ourselves sinners all day. But God is saying a saint. The prophets are a baptized saint of God. We need to change the way we look at things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The prophet said God is unchangeable in both essence and behavior. God is infinite in his abilities. So therefore, he as God must be omniscient. If he is omniscient, then he is not learning, nor is he taking counsel with himself. God is not deciding about you now. God doesn't say, well, if Sister India does good today, she's fine. If she does bad tomorrow, well, oh well. No. He's not deciding about you now. We do that to ourselves every day. But before you came in this life to make these mistakes, you were a seed of God. Look at Abraham. He was worshiping idol. The Bible calls Abraham the friend of God. See, God sees you at the beginning. He sees the end. We look at the in between. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, God is not taking counsel even with himself, nor is he at any time adding to his knowledge. He is omniscient. He has never had a new thought about anything. Because all his thoughts he has always had and always will have, and knows the end from the beginning because he is God. Thus,
The thoughts of God are eternal. When you hear the word thoughts, think of seed. Sometimes we hear the word thought, we think about, okay, I'm thinking about something. God's thoughts is not like that. God's thoughts are real. Seed, the gene of God. I'm a gene of my Father physically. I'm not a gene of my Father or a son of my Father because I'm thinking about it. Because I actually am. So God's thoughts think about seed. You are the thoughts of God, the actual seed of God. And you were always eternal. But God allowed you to be expressed in this time for a purpose. We are fulfilling scripture. Everybody on earth is fulfilling scripture. But it depends on which scripture you're fulfilling. Judas was fulfilling scripture. The Bible says he was born a son of perdition. He was fulfilling scripture. Jesus was fulfilling scripture. He was born a son of God. There is a bride on the earth. We're fulfilling scripture. We need to find out which scripture we're fulfilling. The foreknowledge of God. God is not a man. He doesn't have new thoughts. He doesn't improve. He's perfect to begin with. If God wasn't infinite, if God has a new thought, then he's not God. God doesn't have a new thought about you. You and I, we go up and down. The prophet said God knows what he's doing. He said, it's you and I stumbling along. Today I'm a Christian, tomorrow I'm not. We judge ourselves every day. But as far as God is concerned, he has no new thought. He has your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you are a gene of God. But you see, you and me, we're going up and down. We're wandering. Today I did well. Today I listened to the tape. I pray. I went to church. I feel good. I helped someone. Oh, I'm a Christian. Tomorrow I did something wrong. Oh, I'm not. You see, we're up and down. But God has no new thoughts about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, they are real. Thus the thoughts of God are eternal. They are real. They are not simply like a man with a blueprint he has drawn up and which one they will be translated into substance and form. But they are already real and eternal and part of God. You, the thoughts of God, are real and eternal and a part of God. Sometimes you see someone coming to church. Don't overlook that person. The prophet says sometimes it takes a believer a long time. It's God that brings conversion. It's God that calls. It's God that fills with the Spirit. It's all God. Just keep walking in the light. Just stay with this word. Just be sincere and lay before God. Obey the word and see what God will do. Hallelujah. I think the clock is working this time. Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He said God always had his thoughts for Adam. Adam, as his thought was yet unexpressed in Psalm 139. Hallelujah. Okay, we read that. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The prophet said, down through the centuries we could go, we find a Moses, a Jeremiah, a John the Baptist, and each one of these were God's eternal thought expressed in a season. When you're on this earth, you're here for a purpose. You're here for a purpose. God's purpose. Don't overlook yourself. You are serving God's purpose. God expressed John the Baptist for that season. I think his ministry was 6 months to interview the Lord. Moses was born for a purpose. When Moses' purpose was done, God told him to go on the mountain and die. And then God called Joshua. See, we are all serving a purpose. Brother Branham was born for a purpose.
when his purpose was done, God took him off the scene. It's all God. God is all around us, but we get so distracted and we fail to see God in our lives. You need to see the hand of God in your life. When problems come your way, when unexpected things happen to you, see the hand of God, because your life was ordained. Why? Because you were a seed of God. Jesus said, I won't lose the one. A lot of times we play God in our own lives. Take the word and believe the word. You were here for a purpose, whether you realize it or not. You're fulfilling scripture. That's why you were born. That's why I was born. Where you find yourself, the home you live in, everything you're doing, the job, and everything, the friends, the family you have, is for a purpose. Look how God allowed Satan to wipe Job's children out. God did that. But after the trial, God doubled the children back. He doubled the wealth. You see, it's a purpose. Your life has an eternal purpose. It's time we start considering ourselves eternal beings. This place, we're not here to stay. We're so attached to the things of this life. This is just potatoes. It'll pass away. Everything we have here, we met here. When you will leave it here. But you cannot leave until your purpose is done. Satan cannot take your life until God is done with you. That's all there is to that. Whatever thought God has for you and ordained will happen. It can be the littlest thing, even the thing that bothers you. Sometimes we have stuff bothering us in secret. God knows about it. It's foreknowledge. He knows. We need to have confidence. We're not church people. We are not church people. Church people are religious people. They go to church, they warm the benches, they do their religions. We are not in that class. But you need to find the will of God. You need to come into God's reality. You got to come in the presence of God and meet God for yourself. The sons of God are on the earth. You need to find out if you are or not. No one can do it for you. This is the truth of God. Sometimes it seems like the message is defeated. Things are, look at the church now today. Nothing against no one, but people are leaving. Things are happening. You think God didn't know about it? He allowed it for a purpose. The prophets say, the Lord Jesus told them, he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. He said he did it to stumble them. He never explained it. 70 left him. 70 disciples, apostles, preachers, they left him. Then he turned to the 12. He said, I called 12 of you, but one of you is a devil. Will you also go? See, Jesus knew who he was. He knew his purpose. So he wasn't babying people. No. We don't baby people when it comes to the word. We must line up with the word of God. This is God's purpose will be accomplished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The prophet said here, okay, he said, he's speaking of the Jeremiah, Moses, them and all that. Then we come to Jesus, the Logos. He was the perfect and complete thought expressed, and he became known as the Word. That is what he is and forever will be. He had chosen us in him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world. That means that we were right there with him in the mind and thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. That gives an eternal quality to the elect. That's why God is calling you elect. You can't get away from that. God says you elect. You like, you can call yourself whatever you want.
God says you elect. You can't get away from that. I'm a Nagbe. I can't get away from that. No matter what happens, I am a Nagbe because Nagbe life is inside. It's the life that identifies me as a Nagbe. It's not what I do. It's the gene of God that identifies you as a son and daughter. But that seed has to be quickened. And God will quicken that seed. If that seed is truly there, it will be quickened. Because Jesus said he won't lose the one. God cannot lose his gene. They are eternal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These who are of the royal seed are the elect of God, are the predestined, the foreknown of God. That word foreknown of God. And we're in the mind of God and his thoughts. God knows you. It's not you trying to know God. God knows you. It's the Spirit of God's coming to you. He's coming around you because he knows you. You are part of him. We need to recognize these things. And he will not lose you. It's not on God. When God promised Abraham the seed, it wasn't on Abraham. You see the life of Abraham, how him and Sarah went back and forth, the things he did. God said, don't go here and there. He did whatever. But he still had the son. Because God said so. You got to see the purpose of God in your life. The last time Elijah was talking about building on your strengths and not your weaknesses. A lot of times we spend time fixing the weakness. Because we're so concentrated on the weakness, we're not seeing the strength. We're not watching the word. We're not seeing what God said. Because we're busy fixing the weakness. You can't fix it. You flesh. You were born in sin, shaping iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. You can't fix the weakness. If you focus on the strength, the weakness will go away. Because of who you are. You see, we spoke the last time about prodigal son. Even though he messed up, but the father could embrace him because he was a son. Relationship. He was a gene of his father, so the father could not deny him. Because he was a son. He said in very plain language, the true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally, though not expressed until each came forth in a designated decree season. We came forth in a designated decree season. Who designated and decreed the season? Why were you born when you were born? God designated and decreed that you would be born in that time. You will be born into whatever family. You will go through whatever you... God did it for a purpose. Why? Because you are a thought of God. That's the key. God knew you because you were a part of God. And you are still a part of God even this morning. Hallelujah. He said, as each member came forth, it became expressed and took its place in the body. Thus, this bride is the literal spoken word seed bride. Literal. Let me read this over here. Please bear with me. He said, now then, here we are coming to a conclusion. As the eternal Logos, God was manifest in the Son, and in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that eternal one was the Father manifest in flesh, and thereby gained the title of Son. The Father was manifest in flesh. The Word became flesh. And therefore gained the title of Son. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Even so we, eternal in his thoughts, in our turn, became the many members spoken word seed. See? About God and his family. Manifest in flesh. Prophet said we bypassed the word body and came in flesh to be tested. And those eternal thoughts now manifest in flesh are the sons of God, even as we are so called. He didn't say our church people. Those eternal thoughts now manifest in flesh are the sons of God, as we are so called. He said, we did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed and therefore were reborn. For only the elect can be reborn. We were seed. The key is the seed. The thought of God. Seed, the gene of God. This is the prophets, not me. He said here, a son of God can go a long time before he recognizes that he is a son. Don't overlook no one. God's got everything under control. When I preach because God laid something in my heart to preach. That's my job. That's it. It's not my place. I'm not the Holy Ghost to convict people. And that's not my place. Just preach. I'm preaching today because God ordained it, not because I'm something special. Before there was a speck of light, in 2020, this Sunday, God saw me speaking this message. That's why Brother Elijah asked me to preach. It's got nothing to do with Brother Elijah. Brother Elijah is pastor because God ordained his life to be pastor. You see how the thing works? It's all God. And we are fulfilling scripture. We need to recognize these things and walk in it. Walk in the light as he is in the light. We're in a different category altogether. A believer is in a different category. The angel of the Lord is encamped round about them. God's foreknowledge. God knew all these crazy things would happen. He ordained it for a purpose. And he ordained you in this age. The people that are dying are family members. I just lost my sister-in-law. It's a purpose. Her time was done. Nothing can happen to you unless your time is done. That's the reality. We may have all kinds of reasons, but that's God's reality. Until God is done with you, Satan cannot touch you. Because you are seed of God and you are here for a purpose. Paul said, we shall not all sleep. So some will sleep. But we shall all be changed. That's the word of God. Somebody's got to fulfill that. He said, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. William Branham was born. Did Brother Branham pray for the pillar of fire? Did his parents pray? When that baby was born, that pillar of fire that met Moses came down on this baby. Because he was ordained for that. It was God doing it. Even he himself didn't understand a thing. He tried to kill himself when he lost his family. He couldn't die because his season wasn't done. You cannot defeat God's purpose. We need to recognize these things and embrace it. You may have plans. You may have, that's wonderful, that's wonderful. But what God ordained for your life will be because you are seed. God already decreed a thing before there was the United States. You were always in the plan. Think about it. When you were in the world doing whatever, you were always in the plan of God. But you could not believe the word until the season God decreed for you. It's all God. It's not he who will it. It's not the guy who wants to be saved. It's God. This exact message I'm preaching, God ordained it. We need to recognize God in our lives. Or else we'll keep going in a circle. We're living in reality. This is it. The bride may look defeated, but she's not. God is with us. When you speak the word, God hears your prayer. A lot of times we overlook ourselves. Because we focus too much on the flesh. Get in the word. Listen to the tips. Read the word. Get in the word and pray. That's what the prophets say. You are seed. You cannot be lost. No matter what you're going through, what the struggle, whether it's spiritual or physical, God knows about it. When Abraham was going through that seedlessness for 25 years, God wasn't concerned how old him and Sarah was getting. They were the ones worrying about this thing. Sarah said, "Oh, take my handmaid, you know, try to manifest the promise." But it didn't change God's original plan. Abraham had to get to the place to realize and only believe God. God even went as far as killing the bullock and making her a covenant with Abraham to help him. Abraham got to the place where he only believed God. So he didn't even consider the deadness of Sarah's womb because his focus was on God now. That's what we got to come to. In this age of trouble, look, this is how I look at the thing. Maybe God is allowing this thing to come so that we can start using our faith. Be it unto you according to your faith. People living on the fear. See, we're wearing masks now. We got to obey the law and do the best we can. But don't let the thing control you. People are so afraid, even believers, so scared. What are you scared of? Your life is in God's hands. So what are you afraid of? The angel of the Lord is in the camp. We're in a different class. It's not about being proud, say, oh, we're trying to make ourselves. It's what God has done. We just find ourselves in this place. We have recognized the word for our day. Why? Because we were ordained to. We were part of the word. That's why we could recognize the word. Or else there's no way we could. You can never believe this message. You're not a seed of God. You may come to church. You may agree with it for a while. But you will never truly believe it. You will never truly come to the birth unless you were seed. God decreed it. That's how it is. The foreknowledge of God. So relax. Don't trouble yourself. Believe God. God's got you. He said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." You think God don't see what we're going through? He doesn't see the fears and stuff. He knows about it. He's with us. But he's got your destiny. Just know one thing. God's got your life. And nothing can take it. No one can take it unless God decreed it. Everybody around you can fall down and die. If God says you will do mine. You get what I'm saying? The foreknowledge of God. Everything that's happening, God's seen it. There are more quotes here, but because of time. God decreed it that it will happen. He knows about it. He knows how you fear. He knows the fears you go through. But he's trying to let you know there's no need for that. Use your faith. Believe God. Rest in the arms of the Lord Jesus. Well, you got to be afraid of. We should be the happiest people, the prophet said. He said, don't be scared of nothing. This is when the believers should shine. This is when you should show the world. Paul said, we are written epistle. So when circumstance come and you live above that circumstance, then the unbeliever will see and say, hey, this guy or this lady has something. How come you're not scared? How come these things these people see? Your life is a witness. You don't have to do anything special. Just live your normal life. Just walk in the light. People are watching. People are seeing your reaction. This guy is not a, my brother Mark's not afraid. People dying, they say, it doesn't bother him. People watching. He must have something. You're being salty. While we're scared, we carry on like unbelievers. We're not unbelievers. We're in a separate class. The Bible says these things will be. There's a quote where, I went to the last time I visited Brother Simon. Oh, I didn't bring that quote. Where the prophet talked about the first Catholic president. When we get a second Catholic president after that is judgment, something like that. That's the season we're living in. When the children of Israel, when they were taking the land, Joshua said, Caleb said, give him my mountain. He wasn't afraid of the giants. He knew who he was. God was with them. May we stand, please. Musicians, please come. Just want to encourage your faith this morning. There's nothing to be afraid of. God knows you. He knows your name. He ordained you to be here in this time. Let me read something else here. He says, hallelujah. In the message, the mark of the beast and the seal of God. The prophet of God said, if God's God, he know everything. He know every flea that ever been on the earth. He know every gnat would ever be on the earth before the earth was ever created. Know how many times it'll bat his eyes and how much taller he will make if he's rented out. He's infinite. Who can say what infinite is? If he isn't infinite, then he isn't God. If he was infinite, he know all things from the beginning. And so therefore he could elect, not because he wanted to, but because his foreknowledge let him know who would and who would not be. That's the reason the entire church, every person that'll ever be in the rapture, their name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, says the Bible. That's right. God knew it. He already knew it. God already knew you were made. God already knows you already made it. We must walk in the light as he is in the light. It behooves us to do that, to learn to start doing it. Start looking at yourselves differently. It's not your effort that's keeping you, it's God that's keeping you. Let us trust God. Let us relax and serve God, worship him. Walk with Jesus. Don't be carried away by the things of this life. Don't be afraid. Don't listen to people around you. Those people are in a different category. You are in a different category. Remember that. You are seed of God. Eternal being. You got nothing to lose. If God said you will die tomorrow, you're just crossing over. That's all it is. You cannot die. So it's a win-win. Paul says to die is gain. To live is Christ. To die is gain. So you got nothing to lose. So enjoy your life. Live your life. Worship God. Believe God. Be a believer. If you're going to be a Christian, be a Christian. Believe God. Stay with the word. Amen. May we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I brought it the best I could. You know how I wasn't sure how to bring the message, but you ordained it to be that way, Lord. And you've spoken to us the way you want us to hear the word, Lord. I pray, oh God, may you help us to know these things, Lord, to realize and walk in it, to know that you are with us, Lord. You promise in your word you will never leave us. You will never forsake us, Lord. We are seed of God. We are your very gene, Lord. You cannot lose us. You swore by yourself that you will save Abraham and his seed. Here is Abraham's seed this morning. May we realize that you got our backs, Lord. You are with us. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Let us be free, Lord. Liberate us. Deliver us from the spirit of fear. Let us take coronavirus out of our minds, Lord. And let us walk freely. Let us become the light of the world, the salt of the earth. By just living our normal lives and people are seeing and know that we're not afraid of these things around us. Even though there's chaos all around us, but the angel of the Lord is in the camp. Give us desperation, Lord, to get back in the word, to lay in the word and prayer. Help us, O Lord. We thank you, Father, for hearing our humble prayer this morning. And thank you for speaking to our hearts, Lord Jesus, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.